Hi, it's Glenn Beck. See you weekdays at noon on my new home in Seattle, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Back we are, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. It is 34 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. Ed Mead is a name you may not know, but you might know what he was responsible for helping to found way back in the 1970s. The George Jackson Brigade, founded by Ed Mead and other radicals, including Rita Brown and Mark Cook and Bruce Seidel and others. Over a two-year period, the George Jackson Brigade was credited with carrying out 11 bombings and 14 bank robberies until the FBI finally caught up with them. Ed Mead ended up doing about 18 years in prison. Now, he's been out, of course, for decades, and he is committed to the issue of criminal justice reform. In fact, he's the founder of the Prison Arts Project. He himself has been in and out of prison and jails since he was age 13. He joins me here on KVI this morning. Mr. Mead, how are you?
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners as well.
Okay, so you have joined with some other former inmates and some current inmates and juvenile justice inmates as well in support of a California demonstration. What's going on here, Ed?
Prisoners in California, well, according to the Los Angeles Times yesterday's, 30,000 prisoners in California are refusing to eat, and thousands more are refusing to work. And this is because of the solitary confinement conditions that exist within that state, where people are held indefinitely in solitary confinement without ever having violated any prison rule or broken any law while they were in prison, but just because they're suspected of being a gang member.
Okay.
Some of these people have been held in solitary confinement for as long as 40 years in a windowless cage about half the size of your bathroom.
All right. So tell me why you're demonstrating and other, you know, former cons and current inmates are demonstrating here because of something going on down there. Prisons are run by state governments.
That's true. You know, according to the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery for everyone except those convicted of a crime, so as of now, we have 2.3 million slaves in the United States. And so the issues here go a little bit deeper than just the California prisoners. Who out there is ready to raise their hand and say, we're pro-slavery? These prisoners are held in conditions of irresponsibility and dependency, disenfranchised from the electoral process.
Well, what do you do with a bank robber?
Oh, we're not saying that you release them. What we're saying is that they are human beings.
Okay.
And you treat them as human beings. Human beings in this country have the right to vote, for example. Now, who's going to stand up and say, I'm against extending democracy to all?
Well, I would argue that you can lose certain rights that you enjoy if you abuse the freedom
Certainly.
That you have, right?
No question. You can lose your, you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You will lose your liberty. But that doesn't mean that you have to be overcrowded in conditions that it would be illegal to put a primate in. Does it?
Well,
and more to the point, John. Listen to this. More to the
if you look at the way that inmates live today compared to when you were incarcerated, and didn't that start in what, 78?
76. Yes.
76. Okay. Aren't prison conditions a lot better now than they were then?
No, actually, they're worse.
In what way?
Since this get tough on crime thing has come down, in every way, but primarily in terms of overcrowding. When you they've done psychologists have done conditions with rats and overcrowded them. One group is overcrowded, the other group is not. The group that is overcrowded engages in deviant behavior. It's just it isn't healthy for human beings to be crowding them. The
seen statistics, Ed, that indicate that prison violence is much less today than it was in the 70s.
You're not familiar with the gang violence that goes on inside California prisons?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. But
incidentally, let me just say this.
I mean, you remember what Walla Walla was like in the 70s?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a madhouse. Life magazine, when it existed, did a photo spread. You know, motorcycle gangs riding their choppers in the yard, things like that.
Right now, the Serenos, the Southern Hispanics, are mm-hmm. running Walla Walla. They've assaulted three guards. I think you might be out of touch in with respect to what's going on.
Okay, so I'm willing to take your point. You believe that prisons are actually more violent now than they were when you were there in the 70s and 80s, primarily because they're more crowded than they used to be.
That's possibly one reason. I'm not saying that they're more violent today. I'm just saying, that there is a lot of violence inside the prisons today. The point I wanted to make a moment ago was that on August 11th, 2012, the prisoners that are leading this hunger strike in California, this 30,000 prisoners on hunger strike. Now, their last hunger strike was just under 12,000 people, and it lasted for 3 weeks. This is a historic event. Have you ever heard of 12,000 people going on a hunger strike ever?
No.
Let alone the 30,000 that the California Department of Corrections admits are on hunger strike right now. Let me make just one point that I wanted to make, and that is that in 2012, these prisoners issued an agreement to end hostilities inside the California prison system. And as a result of that, gang and racial violence inside the California prison system has all but come to a complete halt. This is people learning to develop power themselves. Power is not something that can be handed to them. It's something they have to earn and learn how to wield in the process of gaining it. And that's precisely what those prisoners in California are doing, and that's what needs to happen in order for us to make some inroads into the problems we're having with the criminal justice system today.
So you believe that gang members are working out their tensions in California?
It's not what I believe. It's a fact.
Okay, because a lot of people say, well, the problem with gangs is that the gang warfare that happens on the streets continues behind the wall in prison unless you have strict anti-gang policies.
Exactly. And what these prisoners are showing is that we can stop that, and they have.
Why would they want to stop it? I mean, they were engaging in gang activities when they were free. Why wouldn't they continue when they're incarcerated?
And that's a perfectly good question. The answer is that they've come to realize that they have a bigger problem than each other.
And that is?
And that problem is that all these gang members, thousands of them, have been locked up in security housing units in holes. And like I said, kept in a small space, 23 hours a day, no window, no programming such as correspondence courses or anything to improve yourself, and being held there for some of them as long as 40 years. And so And so they come together and they say, well, you know, why do we want to keep fighting each other? I mean, we have a real problem here that needs to be rectified.
All right.
So they've come together. That's why.
All right. Stick around a couple minutes if you can, Ed, okay?
Sure.
Hold on. Ed Mead is my guest. Ed Mead was a former political radical. He had been in trouble with the law since he was in his early teens.
Taking America back. Talk Radio 570 KVI.
Suffice it to say that my guest and I don't agree on a whole lot when it comes to the criminal justice system. I am the co-author, the guy who coined the term three strikes, you're out, and led the campaign for its passage. We were the first country or first state in the country to pass such a law. And then followed up with the hard time for armed crime law, which says that if you use a gun in the commission of a crime or if you're illegally in possession of one, that you can be hit with extra time behind bars. Ed Mead isn't crazy about either one of those laws. He opposed them. He himself is an ex-con, former founding member of the George Jackson Brigade, a radical a group that carried out a series of bombings and bank robberies in the 70s. He did a lot of time behind bars, 18 years. And in fact, he was a pretty nasty guy behind the wall at one point. He was sent to Marion, Illinois, which is known as Supermax to people. Now he's involved in prison rehab programs and reform issues. And he joins me now to tell us about what's happening down in California with this massive hunger strike going on. So Ed, what changes do you want to see here in Washington state to the prison system, Ed?
Well, first of all, John, I think we agree a lot more than you might think we do. The, recidivism rate in California is 70%, according to the governor's website. The unemployment rate for ex-offenders in California is also 70%.
Wow.
When I was a prisoner at Monroe, I discovered computers and was able to get a personal computer in my cell at my own expense. And 54 other prisoners were able to get computers in their cells at their own expense. We formed a prisoners user group called PUG and kept informal way track of those who participated in the computer program and were released. And none of those prisoners came back. I was one of them. I worked here in Seattle as a network administrator for a while, and then I got offered a job in San Francisco where I worked for 11 years. My job ended at the age of 65, and at that point I was making $75,000 a year. The computer program at Monroe was ended shortly after my release, not because of any computer-related infractions or anything done wrong by prisoners, but because some people thought that allowing prisoners to have computers was coddling them. And so, if we have if what we were doing worked, who could complain?
Mm-hmm.
If you had a factory with a 70% failure rate, someone would have to be held responsible. The public wouldn't buy your product. Your stockholders would revolt. But yet, with the failure rates we have today, nobody is being held responsible. They keep doing the same thing that doesn't work.
If you could, change to our prison system, what would it be?
Jobs. I would give prisoners training, and I would provide them employment somehow when they got out. The recidivism rate would be hugely cut if these people were treated like human beings.
But I thought we had training and education programs. You can get your GED behind bars.
Is a GED going to get you a job?
Okay. To a lot of people, yes. A lot of people, no. I mean, Edward Snowden parlayed it into a good living.
But,
let us go to Pat from the town of Graham. Real quickly, Pat.
Real quickly. This is a big subject, especially
it
in
is.
Our state. And I did an extensive study about Pelican Bay down in California. That big prison down there where they hold all those people that are incels and are still able to get word out to their friends out there to kill, maim, or destroy whoever they don't think is agreement with them and their lifestyle. And those people down there are dangerous people.
Yeah, Pelican Bay is supposedly, you know, like Alcatraz used to be. It's a place for the worst of the worst. If you disobey the laws of society, you go to prison. If you disobey the laws in prison, then you end up in Pelican Bay.
I agree with Mr. Mead that they need more training. They need, but there again, we've had those things in our prisons before. Right now, our prison population is up. Crime is up, and then we've got all these, all the money going into the prisons. And I do agree that we do need some reforms in prison. We need to have some more jobs and things like that. And so I hope that that's what he's about.
All right. Well, Ed Mead, prison reformer, ex-con, you get the final word. Go for it.
Okay. The United States has 4% of the world's population, yet holds 25% of the global prisoners. In 1970, there were roughly 350,000 people in jails and prisons in the United States. Today, there are 2.3 million. Does anybody feel any safer?
Yeah. Crime's way down. Crime in New York City is at a 50-year low. Crime rates are much lower than they were in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, no, we've been on a positive a trend for years. But listen, I appreciate you making the time to join us here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. We'd be happy to have you on again.
Okie dokie.
All right. That is Ed Mead, the founder of the Prison Art Project, telling us about the significance of this prisoner strike that is going on down in California, and it is a big deal. Ed's right about that. It's rather unprecedented.